KPIX 1580 AM Columbus, W224 EG Madison, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Hurricane Helene, now a post-tropical cyclone, still dumping rainfall with gusty winds. A storm sustained winds hit 140 miles an hour when it came ashore in Florida's Big Bend. It's taken dozens of lives, and the path of damage is enormous. ABC's Ika Jachi is in Florida.
FEMA has arrived and is on the ground in the Sunshine State today. In terms of residents in need, it's expected that Governor Ron DeSantis will sign an emergency declaration for residents who have suffered catastrophic losses.
And Helene carving a path of destruction through the South. Several flash flood warnings remain in effect across portions of southern and central Appalachia, including multiple flash flood emergencies across parts of North Carolina, Tennessee, and Virginia. Hezbollah confirming the death of its militant leader Hassan Nasrallah in an Israeli airstrike. Now fear of escalation. U.S. Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin says the United States remains postured to protect U.S. forces and facilities in that region. This is ABC News. A 20-year-old Santa Maria, California man is accused of tossing a homemade explosive device into the local courthouse hallway this week and is now facing federal explosive charges. ABC's Alex Stone has more from California.
Already facing local charges, now federal counts have been filed against Nathaniel McGuire. Federal agents say he admitted he went to the courthouse in Santa Maria with the intent to kill, and when he threw the bag containing an improvised explosive device, he yelled liberty or death. In his car, guns and ammunition were found. Investigators say McGuire was angry about being arrested during the summer for allegedly having an illegal gun in his pants. Alex Stone, ABC News.
A two-week hearing into the ill-fated Ocean Gate Titan submersible concluded Friday as the U.S. Coast Guard investigates the unprecedented catastrophic implosion that killed five people while on a deep-sea voyage to the Titanic wreckage. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Sure, the home seller's market is hot right now, but that means many people are jumping at the first offer. When you sell with the most trusted name in real estate, the Aaron Weber Group at First Weber, you're guaranteed the hottest offer, making you the most money for your home. The Aaron Weber Group, powered by First Weber, your local realtor, friend, and neighbor, has your best interest in mind and wants you to make the most of this amazing time to sell. Bring a little heat to your home selling experience with Aaron Weber Group and move to Madison.com.
What's better than one win? Three wins? With Straight Savings, you keep your own phone, get one line for only $25 a month with real unlimited data, and get rewarded with a $200 phone credit after 12 months. It's a win-win-win. Head to Walmart or visit straighttalk.com today. Switch to Straight Talk. Less dollars, more sense. Straight Savings Plan enrollment requires compatible unlocked device and new line of service. Bonus device credit requires 12 months of active service. Offer ends if eligibility requirements are no longer met. Taxes and fees apply. For network management practices, see Straight Talk's terms and conditions.
I'm Terry Bell with WMDX News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WMDX website at mad.radio. For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. People all over Wisconsin are talking about absentee ballot drop boxes after the mayor of Wausau decided to move one to make a political point. Mike Mohn reports.
Voting access advocates secured a victory over the summer when the Wisconsin Supreme Court reversed a near-total ban on drop boxes for absentee ballots. But this past weekend, the mayor of Wausau, a vocal opponent of the option, held a publicized event where he removed one. Sam Liebert, with All Voting is Local, feels it's an extension of those who continue to push false claims about the outcome of the 2020 presidential election.
This is just another part of a larger puzzle of continued voter suppression and trying to have fewer people vote in the upcoming November election.
The mayor defended his actions, insisting he did nothing wrong. Opponents of drop boxes claim they can be tampered with, and prohibiting them can help ensure election integrity. But election policy analysts say they are a proven safe option. All Voting is Local and other advocates called on state authorities to look into the matter. The local district attorney is pursuing an investigation. Even though the state's highest court made this voting tool legal again, local administrators still have the option to decide whether or not to place them around their communities. Liebert says those in leadership positions and the public should know how beneficial drop boxes are in giving everyone a chance to vote.
They help so many types of voters, whether they're voters with disabilities, they're third shift workers, they're single parents. All types of people benefit from having ballot drop boxes.
Earlier this month, a similar controversy arose over guidance from the Dodge County Sheriff's Office to local election clerks. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. Support for this reporting was provided by the Carnegie Corporation of New York.
This is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, look for sunshine and a high near 80 degrees. Clear tonight, lows around 52. Sunny with a high near 80 for Sunday. Sunday night, clear skies, low 50s. Mostly sunny and around 80 for Monday. Cooler on Tuesday with a high near 68.
It's 67 right now.
Whether you're hanging out on State Street or hanging out on the lakes, thanks for listening. This is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
All right. It's your girl, Brandi Grayson, on the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM WMDX. I'm in the house with my co-host.
Your favorite cousin, Clyde.
We missed y'all so
much. We did.
Oh, my God. There's so much tea to spill.
And we're going to spill it.
There's so many conversations to have. And if you're new to the Black Conversion Show, you want to stay tuned for the entire show because as we go along, it just gets better and better.
And better.
And messier. And messier.
And juicier and juicier and wetter. And I mean.
Oh, my God.
Sorry. It gets good.
I just want to say this particular, you know, we're not on very often, but we're on enough for me to get called in the office by the owner of the station regularly.
Ooh. I was approached this week and somebody was like, hey, favorite cousin Clyde. I was like, ooh.
Y'all she's listening,
like,
huh?
Yeah, you she's like, you sounded good.
I leave for 2 weeks and you get called into the principal's
yes,
office.
Yes, I did, Luke.
Come on.
That's because my white translator was missing. You would have edited out some things, but you wasn't here.
So we had to. It's just y'all go to see how we figuring it out, baby.
They're like, hey, can I talk to you as a sponsor of your radio station?
We need you to.
That black girl you have on there, she has tilted the line a little bit too much. but we love you.
Point,
that
right?
is the point of the Black Conversion Show. So stay tuned so we can tilt a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And we always start off our show talking about love.
Yes.
Love for people known as Black is a political action and it is revolutionary. So it's imperative that we keep that at the forefront of relationships, love, healing. Existing in the context of white supremacy is very detrimental to the well-being of Black people mentally, spiritually, and emotionally.
Yes.
And very much so compounded when you are a conscious, walking person known as Black.
Yes.
So let's start today doing what we're doing best, and that's talking about love. Clyde, let's do a check-in, my love, my cousin Clyde. Tell me what's up with you. How you feeling?
So, today I am feeling a little cloudy. Mm. I woke up in some clouds of smoke because my oxtails burnt last night. And I tried to do like an old school remedy, like cook them overnight because I didn't have my slow cooker. So I just put them on a pot and some water. Mm-hmm. And I woke up in a cloudy
situation. Your whole house is smoky.
I'm so sad because I really wanted to eat oxtails today with rice. And beans and cornbread. So,
so what you gonna do?
I'm gonna go buy another pack and bring it to my mom's house
and let her do it, right? Because yes. That's what you should have did before.
Yes, yes. Other than that, my week has been a little different.
Yeah,
I have been dealing with. I would say, can you hear me? Okay, sorry. Sorry, you guys.
We could hear you.
Yes. So I would say for me, and I don't want to skip too much time, I got to a place where, you know, I'm like, it's about me and I'm in control of what I feel and how I feel. Mm-hmm. And then I had to get into meditation. And while in meditation, I learned that I still don't have like dominion over saying when it is about me almost.
Yeah.
That I have to just let energy just have its way, right? And some days it's about me. And then some days it's about others.
Yeah.
included in my calling. Yeah. So this week has been, it felt very good figuring that part out.
Well, that's good. And to our listeners, you are listening to 92.7 FM, The Black Conversion Show with Brandi Grayson and
your
our
favorite cousin Clyde.
Cousin
so
Clyde.
How about you in self-love this week?
It's been tough for me. But I also, the thing I think people get confused about, I would just say contraction, like contracting, mm-hmm. meaning like down moments in your life when you're mm-hmm. in the valley, is that people sometimes interpret your downtime or contraction
yeah.
or things that are not happening or are happening around you. That's not so positive. Some people like to think it's karmatic or karmatic mm. or like, oh, you know, look at that person suffering. So I just want to point out that I have been enduring a lot just from folks in my life, outside of my life, supporting people who have lost people. We've had a lot of losses
yes.
in our personal family and my friends' network and people in our community, just losses after losses. And I, as the person who does what I do, have to hold space mm-hmm. or have chosen to hold space for those moments. And I have people in my family that I have to care for right now on different levels as well. So holding space for that, carrying all that and carrying my own stuff in the midst of navigating systems has been challenging. Mm-hmm. However, I want to say that my experience, I know, is part of my expansion.
Yeah.
I know that what's about to come in the next 6 months is going to be greater.
Come on.
There's nothing that ever has happened in my life that hasn't caused me to stumble, question, renegotiate, redefine my purpose that hasn't led to my expansion. So yes. I'm excited to see what God okay. is about to do, because the one thing we know about Brandi Grayson, if you've been following me and my leadership and the work that we've done in Madison in the Dane County area through Urban Triage, is anytime we hit a valley,
yeah.
we come out of that valley on mm-hmm. a mountain that's higher than the mountain that we were on
okay.
before. So I'm excited, to say the least, because, you know, the haters show up when you have a little fires around you and they try to compound it or, you know, do what they do. So my week has been interesting for a few reasons, but I also say I'm working on getting back in the rhythm of self-care, because I have not been loving myself or supporting mm-hmm. myself, which is often part of the process of contracting and expanding, because then you forget
yeah.
who you are and where you come from. You got to get back on track. So I'm in that place and I'm excited. I woke up the other day in the middle of the night, 1:30, 2 o'clock, and I could not fall asleep. So I got up and I started journaling, which
okay.
is also what I tell my staff to do and the other folks that I teach around, you know, principles of transformation.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not able to sleep, that's because you are talking to you and you need you to become aware of something.
Mm.
And the best way to become aware of that thing underneath what's occurring around you is to write and to reflect. So I got up and I started
yeah.
writing. Well, that reflection turned into an op-ed, which is posted on Madison 365. Shout out to Henry Sanders and David Dahmer for just allowing me to post the space
yeah.
and holding that space for me to express myself. So that for me was like a release too,
mm-hmm.
because I've been wanting to say things and I wanted to point out to people what misogyny looks like and misogynoir looks like and racism and anti-blackness and the compounding impact on leadership and myself.
Yeah.
In Dane County, and how it's a ripple effect. And for our people who are just listening, you're tuned into the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM. I'm just checking in about my week and what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of love and self-love and all that good stuff, that's how we always start off our show, as we understand that black love and loving oneself
first
is black
okay.
Is revolutionary. So I shout out to Madison 365 for just holding that space for me. And for people who don't know, is Urban Triage is a black-led organization. I'm the founder and CEO. And an article was released. It had a detrimental impact on us. Lost partnerships. We've lost funding. I'm sure there's an agency I'm going to keep it to myself, who has been funding Urban Triage for some years now, that I believe is about to back out in our funding, and it'll be a big loss. I'm not 100% sure, but you can tell by how people position or talk to you or talk at you that they're getting ready to shift on you. So I'm just praying for that, for Urban Triage and the loss, because we already are underfunded and undersupported. So people often pray on our downfall, but
yeah.
God is so good.
He is.
He is so good. So that's where I'm at today, Cousin Clyde.
I love that. And we got to remember, like you said,
mm-hmm.
like God doesn't put us in a place where we don't need him.
Yeah, yeah. Right? Amen.
So we got to remember that, like you said, throughout the week when you have to reflect and realize, like, where is all this, like, craziness and chaos coming from? And all he is saying is, I put you here because I need you to realize that in every waking moment, you will need me.
Mount up.
Yeah. And so, and another thing we got to realize is that we've taken care of local business. So it might just be time for national business.
Come on, right? Now.
This here is serious business.
Yeah.
And sometimes we get comfortable and like that elevation you said is sometimes saying, I need you to go higher.
Higher.
Right? Yeah, we get caught up in this local stuff, baby, and it will tear you down. And like you said, the ops, they will link up.
Yeah, they do all the time. So, and I'm not even mad at you because you can, you have been created to play your role and you need to play it, baby. And play it well.
But like your earrings say, we are the proof that black don't what?
Crack.
All right.
Shout out to my queen, our earring queen, Stephanie. Find her on Facebook.
I love it.
Most of my wood earrings, I'm wearing them. If you see me on Facebook, I'm rocking them. Okay. They come from her, always customized. She can create whatever you need her to create. So shout out to you, black businesses. Support black people, support black businesses, and especially support and edify black women.
Okay. Because we stand with black women. And that's a fact.
Facts.
That's a
fact. All right. All right. I feel good. So, I feel good.
Let's talk to them about their love and relationships and what's going on. I heard it was something about some 3 points we got to cover.
It is, but let's just do it. Let's see if we got enough time. Luke, you want to play? Let's talk about love and how this particular person is basically articulating how men need to show up for their partners to allow for that safe space and that femininity. Because we are always talking about masculinity and femininity. Let's see what they're talking about. It's the clip on love, Luke.
What are the biggest reasons why your wife feels unsafe under your leadership look like this? Number one, you're inconsistent. Whether that's with your reactivity emotionally, with your actions and behaviours, with your lack of follow through in doing the things you say you're going to, you're just extremely inconsistent and she can't rely on the things that you say because she watches something different play out in reality. Number two, the majority of the time that you're in general conversation with each other, you include critical, sarcastic, or judgmental comments, and therefore you continually heighten your wife's nervous system. She can't relax. And when a woman can't relax into her feminine energy, she cannot be led because she's in survival mode and she's got to defend herself, ultimately, from the man who says he loves her. And number three, you're defensive. Anything that she says to you, any criticism that she brings up, any feedback that she gives you, you defend as why she is wrong and you are right. You don't own your behavior. You don't own the way that you do things, nor do you learn from them to change them in the future. One of the biggest things that men miss when it comes to leadership is being able to learn from every circumstance and situation and make changes in order to move forward. She wants you to be decisive.
All right. So for our listeners, we're just listening to a clip from this guy that I follow. I can't remember his name, but he's a cute white dude. He has red hair, red beard.
He cute with that accent?
Yeah, I like it.
The Primal Fathers.
The Primal Fathers. Yeah, he's a cutie patootie, but he's more like he looks kind of like not a hippie. He looks like a white dude I wouldn't date. Like, he flies flags, but he's cute, though. You know what I mean? Because he had never mind. I'm being biased. So our listeners, you're tuned into the Black Conversion Show. You just heard a clip about love and 3 points. What we're going to do, actually, is we're going to discuss those 3 points when we return because we have to take a break from our sponsors. And, hey, sponsors, I'm going to work really hard today not to defend you guys. So I'm going to – probably not, though. I'm lying. Okay, so I'm working on my integrity. So I'm going to try really, really hard not to get pulled into the office today. So you guys continue to listen, continue to stay tuned as I and Cousin Clyde get pretty messy here on the Black Conversion Show, spilling the tea and saying things that's inappropriate. So stay tuned to 92.7 FM WMDX, the Black Conversion Show. We'll be back in a jiff.
Mad Radio WMDX, Madison's home for the John and Gordy Show. I don't know about other states, but in Wisconsin, we help our neighbors and love our communities. But California mega millionaire Eric Hovde doesn't seem to get that. Maybe that's why he questioned whether children should be able to stay on their parents' insurance until they're 26. And whether people in nursing homes should be able to vote. Hovde called for raising the retirement age for hardworking Wisconsinites and making obese people pay more for health care. And a Hovde company even spent decades trying to demolish the building housing Madison's oldest family-owned bar, something they finally did this year, shuttering a treasured neighborhood institution for good. That is not how we do things in Wisconsin. And that is why we can't let California mega millionaire Eric Hovde represent us. Paid for by a Better Wisconsin Together Action. ABWT-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
You're listening to Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for Matinair on Air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
All right, you're tuned in to the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM with your girl Brandi Grayson and
your favorite cousin Clyde.
We are back in the house. Prior to break, we had listened to this clip. You know, we always start our show about love, relationship, and just checking in. Mm-hmm. So this particular clip, the guy talked about three things that's required for men or folks who identify as male or who are the person in the relationship that holds that masculine energy, spirit. Right? Yep, yep. And spirit. So three things he said is that safety was super important. Conversation is important and defensiveness. He's pointed out three things. He said a lot of challenges with men leading their partners is being inconsistent in their behaviors and follow through, leading to distrust. And another one is failure to stay present in your conversation with your partner, critically judgment, critical of the person, judging the person, making comments that heighten her nervous system, putting her in survival mode, which then leads to her being unable to follow you because she's in her masculine energy, because she really has to defend herself against someone who said that they love her. The third thing is defensiveness, men not being able to own their stuff. And instead of listening and learning and growing from this criticism or situation that didn't work best for you guys, you get defensive, which then also leads her to mistrust you because you can't lead if you're not able to learn, and you can't learn if you're not able to be honest and accountable for your actions and how it impacts the person you're with, and then creates this ripple effect. And that he said that leadership for men looks like making decisions, being decisive, and leading your partner to another place, which is part of the learning and growing. Because if your partner can see you learning and growing, then they can trust you and your leadership. So I wanted to summarize that for all of our listeners and folks who may have missed it prior to our break. Mm-hmm. Cousin Clyde, what's your thoughts about this fine white dude who was saying these things?
So one of the areas that this fine white dude mentioned was consistency, right?
Yeah.
Like, just as a man in the community and the work that I do, I have a ton of children that follow me, and mm-hmm. a lot of them are feminine energy.
Yeah.
And I've always asked myself, like, why do these kids continue to show up mm-hmm. sometimes? And I mean, for years, like, I get a kid at the sixth grade and now they're a sophomore in college.
Uh-huh.
And they're still under my lineage. They still are in my practice space. They're still mm-hmm. in my center. And I've realized that I've been consistent, right?
Yeah.
I've shown up. When I said there's going to be rehearsal of when there's going to be a meeting, if there's going to be a trip,
yep.
it's always happened because I've been consistent. So for me as a man, I've learned that feminine energy honors
yep.
and I don't know if I want to say
respect. It is
yeah,
respect.
Like
yeah.
Respect,
and
masculine,
trust.
Consistent. Yes,
trust.
And trust.
Yep.
Because they need that. Like, yep. I don't think that feminine energy is on this earth, or people that identify as women, I don't think that they come to earth being the ones that we need to trust and lean on all the time, right? Mm. I think they come searching for that, and that's why a masculine energy is put on earth, so that they can have something to go to. Can feminine people and women do that alone? Yes, they can, but I think from where it has us now, I don't think that that should be their first go-to.
Okay, so what you're saying, regardless of relationship status or, like, relationship how you're defining or leadership. Yeah. The things that this guy had pointed out is necessary for all relationships, whether it's intimate, friendship, mentorship, menteeship, any relationship. It requires for feminine energy to feel safe and secure, consistency, and follow through. I would agree, and I agree with that even with our children and as you know, parents, that like women, young girls require from their dads and other folks in their life holding that to feel safe, to trust that energy, consistency, and follow through. Now,
and even even if they don't trust that masculine energy, just think of just some of the examples that our world has gone through. Mm-hmm. When there's public chaos, women will normally, or feminine energy will normally look at the masculine energy or the masculine person in the room for that protection.
For
right?
that, for that structure, for that, what we're going to do
what
next.
What is next?
Yeah, what are we going to do next? And I think that's really hard sometimes, because I think like in even as women who are so used to, like myself, being in my masculine energy because of the world around me, which often forces and creates this, I'm often in survival mode. I'm often, my nervous system is often hypervigilant because of being dark-skinned woman, black, all that stuff that comes with, you know, where this intersection that I fall. So I often, you know, we often talk about who does what first, right? Yeah. Like we last week when we were together, 2 weeks ago, we talked about this guy. We had a clip and this guy was saying, hey, black women and black men are often competing for like in this kind of like oppression Olympics. Who's hurting more? Yeah. Who is the most impacted through white supremacy? When the truth is, because we both exist in this context, we haven't been able to learn the appropriate roles to have safe space for each other. Like, so feminine energy also is supposed to be this place that's soft, nurturing, that allows the masculine energy to build and to create within it.
Yes.
Right. So, but if you don't, if you're in your masculine energy, you can't leave room for that masculine energy to create, because you know what I'm, you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah. I get exactly what you're trying to say, right? Because as a masculine being and you being a feminine being, this is an example of how it's important to protect us, to protect you all.
Yeah.
So a lot of times when we're masculine beings in a relationship with a feminine being, we might go through stuff, but there's a thing that masculine energy do that feminine beings probably will not understand until we tell you, right? And this thing that we do is we go in our quiet space and say, I am a man, right? Like, it is my job to fix this. If me and a feminine being is bumping heads, or if there is chaos in the organization or something like that, as the man, I must figure this out.
You
and
must
a
do
lot
something.
Of men don't go to that quiet place and remind themselves of that, because you could curse me out, but then when I go to my quiet place and say, I am a man, I will come back to you and say, I apologize, because it is my job to start the apology. I'm the man here.
So can we just point out that you going into your quiet place is actually you stepping into your feminine energy?
Yes.
And that's why masculine and feminine energy is required for all genders, regardless. Yeah. Because the beingness, you being in silence,
it will soften you up.
That is where you find your softness. That's where you come back to yourself.
Yeah.
So, because we all have this masculine and feminine energy. So in order to be all that you can be consistent, create safety, create a safe space for everyone involved, you have to be able to settle into your feminine energy, and that's men and women.
And we don't do, masculine people don't do that in front of people very well.
Well,
we take that embarrassment. Yeah. Like, if we feel like we're embarrassed, even if we're wrong, we'll keep pushing the narrative until we get to that quiet feminine place and say, you was wrong.
Until you're forced to, bro. But some people don't always do that. So that, I think, is the challenge, is how do you create that accountability, honest, and self-awareness? And we all need to work on that. Yeah. That's for sure.
Yeah.
You're listening to The Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM WMDX with your girl, Brandi Grayson.
And your favorite cousin, Clyde.
You want to stay tuned. We're going to talk about the Goon Squad in Mississippi, the guy that was hung in North Carolina. And let's talk about Diddy and Cardi B and Offset when we return on 92.7 FM.
We're not sure what's better, a win at Camp Randall Stadium or just hanging out at the farmer's market. This is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Hurricane Helene, now a post-tropical cyclone, still dumping rainfall with gusty winds. A storm sustained winds hit 140 miles an hour when it came ashore in Florida's Big Bend. It's taken dozens of lives, and the path of damage is enormous. ABC's Ika Jachi is in Florida.
FEMA has arrived and is on the ground in the Sunshine State today. In terms of residents in need, it's expected that Governor Ron DeSantis will sign an emergency declaration for residents who have suffered catastrophic losses.
And Helene carving a path of destruction through the South. Several flash flood warnings remain in effect across portions of southern and central Appalachia, including multiple flash flood emergencies across parts of North Carolina, Tennessee, and Virginia. Hezbollah confirming the death of its militant leader Hassan Nasrallah in an Israeli airstrike. Now fear of escalation. U.S. Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin says the United States remains postured to protect U.S. forces and facilities in that region. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Bucky heads west. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. The Wisconsin Badgers take on USC today as UW tries to rebound from a loss to Alabama 2 weeks ago. Head coach Luke Fickell said he expects to start making big plays the rest of the season.
That's the thing that I think gets lost in the whole grand scheme of things, right? I mean, you know, that it's some special play that you call. No, it's called execution.
Kickoff today is at 2:30 p.m. You can stream the game on the free Civic Media app on WRJN, WRCE, WFHR, or WLAK, or listen on any of those stations live today. The Brewers, who are locked into the NL's third seed, defeated a potential playoff opponent, the New York Mets, 8-4 on Friday. The playoffs begin Tuesday for the Brewers in the wild card round. The Green Bay Packers play tomorrow against the Minnesota Vikings. Starting quarterback Jordan Love is listed as questionable for the game. He's missed two games with an MCL sprain. Kickoff is at noon on Sunday. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, look for sunshine and a high near 80 degrees. Clear tonight, lows around 52. Sunny with a high near 80 for Sunday. Sunday night, clear skies, low 50s, mostly sunny and around 80 for Monday. Cooler on Tuesday with a high near 68.
Right now, it's 70.
The John and Gordy Show.
People don't realize there used to be radio schools.
It was a night school. Uh-huh. And my very first day, I walk up the stairs and there in the lobby is my instructor. He's laying on the couch, his arm over his head, and he's going, "Oh my God, I wish I'd gotten into real estate." That was the encouragement I got right away.
Weekday mornings 6 until 8 on Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX and on the Civic Media app.
There are so many traditions built around the Wisconsin Badgers, game day and the mascot, which in 1889 was a real badger. It didn't go well. Eventually, the animal was replaced by a person. An on-campus contest chose the official mascot name, Buckingham U. Badger. Still, Wisconsin's official animal is a badger. But do you know which animal almost earned this title instead? Gray squirrel? White-tailed deer? Black bear? The answer is coming up. The original badger's nickname is actually associated with lead miners in the state, not the animals. It was the 1820s, and the miners often didn't have shelter in the winters, so they lived like badgers, digging tunnels into the hillsides where they worked. So was there almost another state animal? Yes, the white-tailed deer, which later became the official wildlife animal. But the history surrounding the badgers is a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Kamala Harris was so classy. What did you think of the debate? My friend and Milwaukee County Board Chairwoman Marcelia Nicholson.
As a woman of color, she ran a clinic on how to school a mediocre white man. And on the other end, you have Trump, who was angry and rattled and showed why he was unfit to be president.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Broadcasting from the city where the official bird is the plastic pink flamingo, this is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hey, 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 hey. I don't. Luke, is it on?
It is.
Oh. Welcome. Y'all, I am really having a hard time here at 92.7 FM, the Black Conversion Show. I am really bothering our producer right now. This is Brandi Grayson and...
your favorite cousin, Clyde.
We are somehow missing the cues, so thank you for continuing to join us. If you're just returning, a returning listener, we just talked about love, relationships, as we always do, how we're doing and all that good stuff. So now we're going to transition over to what's in the Black news.
Yes.
And it's crazy to talk about Black news because some of our Black news often is, or including, a lot of trauma.
Yeah.
And sometimes I don't want to talk about it. And also it's like, where is it's not really being talked about in other places or platforms. So I feel like it's kind of our responsibility to touch on it. And I hate to touch on it because it's just triggering. So in Black news, we have, I'm actually going to have Luke, I'm going to have you play this clip of a news speaker. I think it's, oh my God, my brain. Don't worry about it. But let's just play the clip.
I believe it's Amy Goodman over at Democracy Now.
Democracy Thank Now. Goodman. That's one of my favorite news platforms, Democracy Now. Go ahead. Let's play that clip, Luke.
After the attack, Michael Corey Jenkins was actually charged with a felony based on methamphetamine the officers said they found in the raid. But records show that was a lie. And the charge was dropped. In fact, the deputies planted drugs to devise an excuse for the raid and also stole surveillance video from the house. Their body cameras were off. Court documents said the officers used the name Goon Squad, quote, because of their willingness to use excessive force and not to report it. The Associated Press found the deputies were linked to at least four violent attacks on Black men since 2019. Two of the men died. For more, we're joined by Michael Corey Jenkins and Eddie Terrell Parker, as well as Malik Shabazz.
All right, that's good. Thank you so much for playing that clip. So we're talking about six police officers out of Mississippi who has coined themselves or named themselves the Goon Squad. These particular guys, as pointed out by Amy, have harmed four Black men, tortured them, and killed two in the last 4 or 5 years. And that's only folks that we know of. What is your thoughts around it? I think they were convicted.
Yeah, they were or they are going
to
trial.
No, I think they were convicted.
Okay. So basically what has taken place is that one of the sheriffs, from what I saw, called these groups of men or sent out a text and was like, are you guys ready to go do a hit?
Oh, yeah, because that's their thing.
Yeah.
That was.
Yeah. This, you could tell by the way they did this that this is what they do.
Right.
They went into these people's home and tortured them for hours. Mm-hmm. And not just torturing them physically, mentally, but also sexually.
Oh, that's right. They did sexually assault them.
Yes, they sexually assaulted these two men. And then what we did not hear in this clip is that one of the officers put a gun
in
his mouth and shot him. So the bullet went through his neck.
And he's
so
still alive.
He still survived and
he's
tried
paralyzed.
To kill him.
Yeah, yep.
Yes, and so it just goes to show, because this has been going on with this Goon Squad since 2019.
That we know of.
Yes, that we know of. Mm-hmm. That this is still happening in the greater south of Mississippi, but all over the nation, right? And then it's being held by our government officials.
Yeah. And
the police are government officials.
Yes, I agree. And they're leaders. So it's not like people are able, it's almost like, doesn't it almost look like a TV show? Reminds me of the movie.
A movie.
The show Power. Remember the show Power, and they now have that undercover folks who are committing crimes illegally and everybody knows, but nobody is saying anything.
And it's almost like in every police task force, there's this group of crooked cops.
Yeah.
And I heard through watching a cop's live on TikTok, he was at work and he goes live while he's doing his work. And he had made a comment like, oh, those are just the crooked cops. Every force has a crooked cop, even in his work. And I'm like, that's not okay.
It's not okay. And it's just a telltale sign about where we're at right now. But that also brings me to that dude, what is his name? The governor, Lieutenant Governor of North Carolina, who's running to be the governor, black dude.
Yes.
What is his name?
Robinson.
Mark Robinson. This dude, thanks Luke, this dude is running to be governor and he is a black Nazi.
Oh, wow. dark-skinned Nazi.
No,
come
like,
on
seriously,
now.
He's a black Nazi.
And what are some of the things he is wanting to do?
Look, he is basically saying, when I win governor in November elections, I'm going to reinstate slavery. Mm. It reminds me of that dude from the movie Django. Remember that dude from Django? That was the dude that was in the house. We call him the house Negro. Mm-hmm. Remember when Django rolled up? He said, Massa, what this Negro doing on a horse? That's this what that lieutenant government reminds me of when
those
we talk about
them. Continue to transpire right in front of us.
Right in front
like,
of us. Yep.
You know, we hear a lot of that, like Jim Crow is still alive. Mm-hmm. And this is a part of that Jim Crow era, right?
Yep.
So just speaking about reinstating slavery and things of that nature, it's like piggybacking off of another gentleman that was just lynched, you know, over in the Carolinas. Did this just happen in the Carolinas?
What happened?
The young man from Chicago.
Oh, yeah. What is his name?
Javon, maybe. Apologize if we're slaying his name.
But
McGee.
Yeah, McGee. He's a guy, 21-year-old guy from Chicago who's a truck driver. Young dude, truck driver, was driving his truck over in North Carolina. I think it's Henderson, North Carolina.
I believe so.
And he was found hung.
Yes.
I think we actually have a clip from his sister. Let's play that really quick, Luke, because I think she provides a little bit more information.
Okay.
He was 21 years old and would have been 22 in a few weeks. He was found hanging from a tree in Henderson, North Carolina yesterday. He drove trucks, so that was his reason for even being out there. The police officers are trying to say that he went to Walmart and purchased a rope and hung himself. We obviously don't believe that, and we are just asking for your help to push his story out there. This isn't covered on any local platforms. No news stations, radio, none of that. So we're trying to push it out there. We really need your help. The police officers in the coroner's office are giving us a hard time, not allowing his mom to identify the body. At one point, they told her she can't identify the body due to COVID. And then the next day, today, they told her the father has to give her permission for that, which he said that he would. She asked if they could send her pictures at least. They told her yes, and then turned around and told her, oh, I don't think that you want to see your son like that.
All right, look, we're good on that clip. So part of this is, as always, is that institutions, systems, police, criminal justice system, there is no accountability. There's no sense of justice, especially for us, right? It's just us. So we have the situation where this young man is found hung, and the sheriff in that area happened to be black, because I often tell y'all that white supremacy is not about skin color. It is a system and a way of being and social constructs that we all have embodied and attributions that we all embody, and then we project out, and we ensure that this system of white supremacy continues. So this sheriff, I think his name is Sheriff Bam in Henderson, North Carolina, he stated that, hey, this wasn't a lynching. And you know why it wasn't a lynching? It's because he didn't have a noose
the rope. It was just a rope.
It was just a rope that hung him. And I thought that was an interesting way to declare before the investigation is completed that he committed suicide. They have no evidence of such. So it's just weird as always. And we know whether it's the police system or institution of policing or school system or any institution, there is no accountability. There is no, hey, let's make sure that we are behaving in a way that centers humanity or some type of ethical behavior or morals. But there is none. There's only morals or values demanded from those who are most vulnerable, poor, and disenfranchised. You know, I always think about what they expect of me as a black woman who lives in Madison, Wisconsin, surrounded by racism all the time. I mean, all the time.
Yeah.
And then expect me not to rage or be upset, and then hold me accountable for the rage that I feel and the hurt that I feel, but never ever hold any other parties or systems or ways of being accountable. So again, you're listening to the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM WMDX with Brandi Grayson.
And your favorite cousin, Clyde.
We're talking about In the Black News, and what's your thoughts about what we just heard?
So it's this new movie that just came out on Netflix, and I forget the name of it, but you hit a good point on the head when I found out that the sheriff was black and he's possibly a part of the chaos and the mayhem. But there's a movie where there is black actor, main black actor, he is trying to fight to get his cousin mm-hmm. out of jail. Mm. And they're living in like this southern town, backwoods.
I saw that movie.
Yes. And he goes in for help. And the police officer that he speaks to first is a black woman. Uh-huh. And she goes in and rats him out to the white mm-hmm. Head cop. And like, mm-hmm. this guy, we got to get him out of here. Uh-huh. But then in the end, she redeemed herself.
Yep.
But it's like, that makes sense. It's like you get black folks in places that black folks are the target uh-huh. and we become the shooter.
And like let's have some grace for black people and other non-white folks, is that it's in order for you to even be in systems or institutions, even if your intention
sometimes.
Is to be the change or, you know, affect change or infiltrate the system, in order to do that and to survive or just to be in it or to maintain, like to be accepted, you actually have to chip away from your humanity. That's what I talked about in my op-ed on Madison 365, is that just being next to the system, in the system, navigating through the system, it requires you to chip away of pieces of yourself, because you have to either dismiss or avoid, you know. You can tell that she wanted to say something or do something different in that movie, but she could not, because then she would become the target, right?
Right.
So in order to survive and protect herself, she had to participate in the dehumanization, objectification of other black people. And that's how all these systems work. And most of us don't have the words or the language to identify what's occurring internally, so we can never do anything about
it.
Before you can do something about anything, heal, recover, change something, you have to be able to put it to words. You have to be able to say, this is what I'm feeling, this is what I'm experiencing, and then you can say, okay, this is what I need to do. But most of us, people known as black and other, we don't know that we embody attributes of white supremacy. We don't know that we are actually perpetrating against ourselves and others, because when you go to school, they don't teach you about white supremacy. You don't know, have any analysis of it or the depth and breadth of it and how we all are partaking in this thing.
Right. And you're right. We don't know it, but we're smart enough to know that, A, we are the ones always turned into the victims. We are the ones always abused.
Yes.
And so we become the bottom of the totem pole, that it's easier for us to say, if I do it, no one is going to care. So it's easier to put my superiority over this black man or black woman,
and
because
good,
no one is going to care. But I'm going to feel like I've done something.
Yeah, and it gives you power. Yeah. Because if you're powerless everywhere in your life, just like kids who are abused, they try to get power wherever they can. It's part of our trauma response. Ooh. It really is.
Yeah.
It's quite ingenious the way white supremacy works and how we are all kind of blinded to it, and how it creates this dynamic between black people and other folks who are also oppressed. But it keeps this dynamic going where we're actually vomiting on one another versus working with each other and finding the similarities and where we can meet.
Yes.
Right. So it's been, I don't know, it's weird.
It's hectic. Yeah. And it just gets us to a place where we have to, again, be more softer, and we all have to inhabit our feminine spirits because we think that we can endure. We think that we can be punched on. We think that we could do that. And we can't.
That if we are going to continue to thrive and to overcome and transcend what's around us, we have to be in our feminine being.
We
have to sit in silence. We have to look at ourselves. We have to be able to identify the way these demons and attributes of white supremacy show up in us, because we're so often looking at other people, pointing out, like, look what they're doing. Look at that system.
Yeah,
look at that black man doing that. Judging. Mm-hmm. And the thing about it is, you only judging in them what's in you.
Yeah.
Because you
deflecting.
You can only see in other people what's in you, which is often why I'm saying to myself, how am I showing up? And people say to me, Brandon, you always do that. And that's because I know that I wouldn't even be able to see this crap in you if that crap wasn't first in me.
Yeah. And I wouldn't be able to see it that darn good,
mm-mm.
right? And be able to break it down from A to Z.
Exactly.
I've been there, done that.
Right, because it wouldn't even be in my frequency. It wouldn't even exist in my world unless it's me also swallowing the water and projecting it out. So when I talk about white supremacy, I'm not just talking about others. I am speaking about me, mm-hmm. how it shows up, how it impacts my leadership, how it shows up everywhere in any and all people activities. You are listening to the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM, WMDX with your girl, Brandi Grayson.
And your favorite cousin, Clyde.
Y'all stay tuned because you know we're not done with the tea. We're going to talk about some community events and just, I don't know, what else we want to talk. Oh, we want to talk about Offset and P. Diddy. Mm-hmm. Stay tuned.
This is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
I'm proud to be voting for Kamala Harris and Tammy Baldwin.
Across Wisconsin, people are standing up for Vice President Kamala Harris and Senator Tammy Baldwin because they stand up for us, taking on the big drug companies, lowering the cost of insulin and prescription drugs. They've even cracked down on greedy corporations to put an end to price gouging and surprise medical billing and made sure no insurance company can deny you coverage for having a pre-existing condition.
Kamala Harris and Tammy Baldwin are fighting for people like me and all of my friends and everybody else I know.
Now, extremist politicians are trying to take away our basic freedoms. But Kamala Harris and Tammy Baldwin are fighting back, protecting our freedom to choose and our right to vote.
A lot of people fought and died for these rights. My parents, my grandparents.
There's too much at stake here. We have to get out and vote.
I am going to vote for Kamala Harris and Tammy Baldwin. They are fighting for me.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Donald Trump on his Truthy Social platform, he wrote this, quote, "It was 3-on-1, but they were mentally challenged people against one person of extraordinary genius."
Real man of genius.
Here's to you, Orange Man. Losing by a whisker, then saying you won.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to Mad Radio WMDX, Madison's home for the Todd Lobel Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
All right, we are back on 92.7 FM, the Black Conversion Show with your girl, Brandi Grayson, and
your favorite cousin, Clyde.
All right, prior to break, we were doing In the Black News. We have one more news story. Let's talk about your guy, P. Diddy.
P. Diddy is everywhere. That's all they're talking about. And we just want to catch you guys up with some timeline and just let you guys know where we are. So if you haven't been keeping up, in November of 2023, this is kind of where this thing started. Our girl Cassie, if you know music, you know her music. Mm-hmm. She filed a petition against him, or a lawsuit against
him. Yeah, he was beating the crap out of her.
That included abuse physically, mentally, and sexually.
That we saw on video.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then right after that, in December of 2023, this is where a lot of more victims came out of nowhere and said, I've also endured this, and this is not just, you know, backing the system up as they should. Mm-hmm. So fast forward to March of 2024, the case has escalated and created a lot of massive attention. Mm-hmm. His home was raided back in March or April, and they found what the media is allegedly saying, 1,000 bottles of baby oil.
They found 700 dildos.
Yes.
They found all kinds of...
What is dildo?
Know what a dildo is. And let's make it clear, because also sometimes in social media, we have Black people, I call them hoe tips and Israelites, saying that what about, they didn't do this to the Playboy person. What's his name?
Yeah, Hugh Hefner.
I just want to clarify something as it relates to P. Diddy. It's not that he was having sex with people. It was that he was spiking people drinks. He was drugging people, and he drugged everybody. And he drugged everybody that came to his parties. So even if you wasn't aware, his freak offs, he was drugging you. So we have people coming forward like Eve, the old rapper Eve, saying that her drink was spiked one time at a VMA after party of Diddy's, and she didn't even know, but she was hysterical. And Janet Jackson walked in and gave her she said, I didn't even know Janet Jackson. And she said, it's okay, breathe. And they said, and she told him, somebody go get her water, go get her hot sauce, and go get her a piece of bread so that she can cool down her system. So it was Janet Jackson that helped her. And then we had all these other rappers come forth that also said the same thing. So you can't drug people. Like, it's illegal for me to give you drugs and to spike you and then take advantage of you. So I'm participating. People have been participating in the freaknik and having sex, but not consensual sex. That's rape.
Yeah.
That's not okay. It's not the same. Who after Playhouse, everybody that went there knew what they were doing.
Yeah.
Right? They were coming to have sex with permission, but yeah. you coming to a party not even expecting to have sex and you waking up and your back part is hurting. You know what I mean? Like, that's something. And not only that, he was sex trafficking women across yeah. state lines and across the country. You can't do that. You can't put somebody on a private jet owned by a company, give them drugs, and then force them, and without consent, they have sex with you, and you take them across state lines. That's sex trafficking.
Yeah.
So there's a whole lot of dynamics that I don't think people actually understand about P. Diddy.
Which is illegal.
And I'm just not doing this black and white thing with people either, because they think that because a white man got away with it, that it excuses a black man with getting away with it. And then your argument is, well, if they were white, they wouldn't get caught. That is in truth probably true, right? Because justice is just us. And the fact of the matter is the dude is sick. No separate, no different than R. Kelly. The dude was sick. Everybody knew R. Kelly was sick.
Unhealed trauma.
Unhealed, just sickness.
Yeah.
So anyway, I went on a tangent. You're listening to the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM. What you got, Cousin Clyde?
Well, as Brandy said, like, we still have to do work with that, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's all about mental health. And I think once we realize that a lot of our actions stems from trauma or from the actions that we've endured, I think we will learn to stay out of those behaviors, right? Because temptation is a mother
effer.
And when you're rich, you're going to have every temptation come your way, because I'm pretty sure that at the time that these things were happening, they didn't think it was a big deal. They didn't think it was a problem.
But I don't know. Now, how could you not?
Yeah, I do think it was probably back of their head. Like, okay. This isn't right.
Well, I don't know.
But
I don't
it's
think
all
people,
coming out now.
I don't think people...
And
who,
I wasn't at the freak off. So that's all I gotta say.
And I just want to say, I don't think people who commit these kind of crimes think it's all right. I just think they can get away with it.
Yeah.
Like all Trump people, you think you have the power, the money, so you don't think you're touchable, right? So I think that's more what it's about. And again, it's always about power, control, and domination. So let's just transition, because we only have a minute or
two
left.
I got some good news.
What
I saw this. So,
what'd you say?
T.I. and Tiny, their children, the LOL girls, black girls, won the $71 million
lawsuit
from the toy company.
Yep, MG.
Yes, they got $17 million came
71 from, million.
71, but I was going to break down the numbers.
Okay.
I think it was like $17 million came from actual products that was like sold using their replicas and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then like 50-something million came from just damages.
Ain't that crazy?
I said, that is a
big win. I need that money. I'm telling y'all, if I ever get millions, I'm going to, y'all think I'm bad now? I'm going to buy out Civic Media, and I'm going to talk so much stuff, and I'm not even going to ask for sponsors, because I'm just on the line that I could just talk crap. And I'm going to every city council meeting, I'm going to every county board meeting, and I'm declaring whatever I need to do, and I'm smacking people with my money.
71 million, you're going to go national.
Okay.
And you're not going to stay in these little
bitty
spaces.
I'm not, but before I go, I'm slapping people intellectually with my money. And then I'm going to buy up land, and I'm going to create spaces and call it the Black Zone, or urban development, or urban.
71 million is a lot of money.
But I mean, I want y'all to know too, after taxes, they take 1/3 of your money after you make certain amount. Because I'm telling you, y'all thought my paycheck is high. Wait till you see my taxes.
Okay.
They take 35% and 40% of my check every time I get paid. And that's why I was like, sometimes I should vote Republican, because maybe I can. But I'm not rich. I'm middle class. So I guess that won't work.
So that's what we got in Celebrity Gossip, baby. They acting up, but they winning too, right?
Okay, and we don't have anything in community news today, because we were too set on celebrity news.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe next time Clyde comes.
Send us
Clyde,
some stuff, and we'll brag about it.
And Cousin Clyde needs to come prepared for next time, because it wasn't my fault. It
was his. Brandy was on early today. So we're going to get her that.
Hey.
Yeah.
Okay, you're tuned in to the Black Conversion Show. And until next time, we love y'all. Y'all know y'all love us, even though you hate us.
Yes.
That's a form of love, too. So stay tuned next time on 92.7 FM WNDX. This is Brandy Grayson.
Until next time, lovers, and your favorite Cousin Clyde.
All right, peace, love, and hair grease.
From
Civic Media Global Headquarters on State Street. This is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
Spotlight will focus on Governor Tim Walz and Senator J.D. Vance Tuesday night, October 1st. Listen here as the vice presidential candidates debate issues important to you.
Go to the polls as a parent. You should have more power.
A belief that one person can make a difference.
Wisconsin Decides 2024. Special coverage starts at 7:45 p.m. Then listen to the CBS vice presidential debate live at 8, Tuesday, October 1st, here on your local Civic Media radio station.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. You're listening to Mad Radio, WMDX 1580 AM Columbus, W224 EG Madison, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm